The House passes the first spending bill of the year to fund military pay and benefits programs and to pay for the Pentagon's housing and equipment infrastructure. The Military Construction and Veterans Affairs bill is usually one of the easiest appropriations bill to pass, but this year it got a little bit less support than usual. Tamar Hollerman is appropriations reporter for Roll Call and writing about that lack of support in today's edition. Tamar, thank you for being on the program. This is significant, it seems to me, that not as many people as usual got behind MILCON, and it seems like it's a little more politicized than it normally is. Is that a fair read on my part, Tamar? Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. This year's bill got about 255 votes in support. So yes, the bill did pass, but that is significantly lower from anything we've seen in recent memory. We looked back 18 years, and the most divided standalone MILCON vote was, I believe, 368. And last year, this bill passed with only one vote in dissent. It got more than 400 votes in the House, which means it's completely bipartisan. It's usually non-contentious, but there were a variety of factors this year that caused the vote to be a lot closer, including pressure from the White House. Dems didn't want to support it because of the underlying framework that Republicans used to fund the bill. And there were also some concerns about the way that Republicans used a certain war funding account.
The war funding account has been a sticky wicket every single time it comes up. I don't know that anybody's really crazy about it, even the proponents of it, because of that. But it seems that that's the only way anybody can figure out to move forward without completely ripping up the BCA and starting over. Is that a fair read on my part?
Exactly. I mean, call it what you want. It's a relief valve for some people, and others consider it a gimmick or a workaround. But it's a way, you know, a way for proponents of defense spending to make sure that people look after the Pentagon. There's some pretty tight spending limits in place, and this is a way to make sure that the Pentagon gets more funding.
Now, you write in this piece that we have a link to at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Democrats have proven they won't cede much ground to Republicans on spending matters as they seek another budget deal that would lift the sequester spending caps. And you're alluding, I imagine, to the bipartisan budget agreement that Chairman Ryan, Chairman Murray made. I guess it's almost 2 years ago now.
Yes, exactly.
It seems like just yesterday. By doing that, is the goal here overall for the government to spend more money, or is it to have a say about how that money gets spent, i.e. this much on civilian programs, this much on defense, or some combination of both, Tamar?
A combination of both. Democrats argue that under the current spending framework, there is not enough money for non-defense priorities. And many will also argue that there's not enough money for defense priorities as well. Republicans generally tend to argue that you know, they would like to see more money for defense, but where the real area of disagreement is this non-defense spending. So people are saying, sure, fine, if we want to re-examine these spending caps, we need to have offset spending, either changes to mandatory programs, cuts elsewhere, or even revenue, which a lot of Republicans don't want to talk about. You know, everybody knows they need to go sit down at the table and talk about changes to mandatory programs, but that certainly is not an easy thing to do.
Well, and it also doesn't seem to be an easy thing to do to even start the process of trying to make another deal. Everybody seems to be open to the idea. I believe it was your report that I saw first about the fact that Speaker Boehner said he's willing to consider the idea, at least, of some kind of agreement, even if it's a two-year deal or whatever. And I don't believe that he got into specifics. I'm doing this all from memory. But it seems like everybody's saying, yes, we need to do that at some point. But you write in this piece that you're reporting today, leaders for now seem to be trudging ahead with their current plan. You write about the House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy saying, we're pretty much going to just do the appropriations bills on the track that we have set right now. And while everybody seems to acknowledge a deal is probably the best thing to do, nobody seems to give any indication they're willing to start considering it.
Yeah, exactly. If you talk to Republican aides, privately they say, yes, we realize that eventually we are going to have to sit down and talk to each other. But I think right now there's kind of a wait-and-see approach. People want to see how far they can go under the current framework. And there really is no perceived sense of urgency right now because there is no funding cliff. As you know, the beginning of the fiscal year doesn't start until October 1. So I think leaders want to wait a little bit longer, see how far they can go, see where they end up and then really have that looming deadline help things carry over the carry everybody over the edge.
So my takeaway then in that area from your piece is the Democrats think the Republicans are in a fast car with the gas pedal down headed toward a brick wall. And the quote I took away from David Price from North Carolina, he's a Democrat appropriator, has been on the committee for a long time, is, yeah, we'll let them keep driving. And when they get close to the brick wall, if they want us to help them put the brakes on, then we'll help them.
Yeah, exactly. There's definitely this idea that, you know, leaders are going to keep bringing spending bills onto the floor until they no longer have the votes to pass them. Basically, Democrats have said they're not going to give them any help, but at some point there are going to be enough Republican defectors that they won't have the votes. They'll have to pull something from the floor, and then everybody will have to go back to the drawing board. And that's where Democrats say, you know, we'll be there at the negotiating table, ready to go. We hope it's sooner rather than later.
They have more margin though in the Republican caucus than they've ever had before, because the speaker can lose 30 votes without getting a single Democrat still pass stuff, right?
Sure, but the spending measures are only going to get tougher from here. Military construction, like we were saying, is one of the easiest bills. The fact that the margin was relatively close this year shows that, you know, the challenges that lie ahead. We're going to start getting into tougher, you know, traditionally tougher non-defense spending bills that you know, normally there's a lot of Republican division on. There's moderates who do want to fund some of these domestic programs, and then there's the fiscal conservatives who would rather just cut. So that significant disagreement there is what Democrats are really banking on to eventually get Republican leaders to the negotiating table.
Are there a couple of those bills tomorrow that we could look at, and if it or they run into trouble, we could say, okay, this is a signal that maybe now we're moving closer to somebody being willing to cry uncle and start negotiating?
Absolutely. The next one on the horizon on the House side that you know, we could potentially see some disagreement on is the Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development Bill. The full House Appropriations Committee is likely going to mark that up within the next few weeks, and then presumably from there it'll go to the floor probably in June. That is where we saw trouble in 2013 ahead of the shutdown. A lot of more moderate Republicans thought that the cuts were too draconian, and they started balking. And Democrats also voted no, and that's really what caused the process to implode. There's a possibility we could see that again this year. And from there, we only get tougher. You know, there's the bill that funds the Departments of Commerce, Justice, and Science that has a lot of gun provisions that can be contentious, that funds climate science at NOAA. So there's plenty on the horizon.
I had a conversation with a friend of mine over the weekend about the fact that so many of these bills were coming out so early, and we have a budget resolution, and that indicated perhaps some certainty for people at the agencies. And my friend, who admittedly is a glass half empty guy, said, no, maybe that just means that the House leadership is building themselves some headroom because they know it's going to grind down week after week after week after week throughout the summer. And I have to confess, as I read your report and talk to you, it sounds like that might be more the scenario than the scenario I was hoping for, which is by the middle of the summer or beginning of August at recess, we might have some idea of how the bills are starting to shape up, potentially to go to the president.
Yeah, it's certainly starting to shape out that way. We kind of saw that happen with the DHS spending bill back in January. The House leadership got a really, you know, they were very quick out of the gate at the start of the session. But then we saw, you know, week after week, divisions within the party really kind of stall work. So perhaps they are kind of incorporating some headroom for themselves. I mean, also on the Senate side, you know, the Senate tends to be a few weeks behind from the House when it comes to doing appropriations work. So it could be a while.